Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
According to a new poll, just 35% of college students said they like Elon Musk more than other mega billionaires. Said Musk, oh yeah? How much to buy college? Not just yours. The whole idea.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth talks to actor Melanie Lynskey. But first, a closer look.
A judge ruled on Friday that Donald Trump will remain in contempt of court after failing to comply with a subpoena in a fraud investigation as more bombshell text messages emerged implicating more GOP members of Congress in the attempted coup on January 6. Also, Trump endorsed a non-existent person for Senate in Ohio. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. As we have established, for a long time now, one of the things Trump did to the modern GOP is he weirdified it. He unleashed his army of mafia, bobblehead goons, and freaks, and now the Republican Party is an institution just filled with weirdos obsessed with things like cocaine-fueled orgies, Disney erotica, and testicle tanning. An example of one of those weirdos is his former personal attorney and necklace wonder, Rudy Giuliani. Now, we have shown you clips over the years of Rudy Giuliani saying and doing many bizarre things, but I have to say, this latest might be the weirdest yet. Rudy is on Cameo, where you can pay him to say things, and to advertise that fact, he posted this video online today.
I'm Rudy Giuliani. If you want to have a really nice conversation or a birthday greeting or just talk golf, go to the link below.
This is the weirdest metronome I have ever seen. It does not even look, I'm sorry, it doesn't even look like an actual human body. It looks like one of Jeff Dunham's puppets. It's like a wind-up toy you'd get in a giveaway bag at a mobster's funeral. Is this from his new movie, Weekend at Rudy's? Why is he just flaccidly swinging the club back and forth like a wet pool noodle the entire time? Is he trying to hypnotize us? I'm not wasting money on Cameo, or will I get Cameo? He looks like one of those drinking birds if instead of water, all it drank was scotch. So it's a party of weirdos led by head weirdo Donald Trump, who keeps going around the country reminding us of his relentless weirdness. For example, it has been well documented, including on this show, that Trump has an obsession with toilets. He has a whole platform ranting about toilets not flushing due to low water pressure. And even now, amid a deadly plague and a land war in Europe, it's still one of the staples of his rally speeches. Trump repeated it again during a rally in Ohio just over a week ago.
You ever go into a new home and you turn on the faucet and there's no water comes out? So you're sitting there washing your hands and it'll come on, water, come out, baby. Same thing with showers. I'd go into a shower and I'd go to a hotel that was new and I said, I can't stay in these places. Why? The water just drips out a little bit slowly. And I won't talk about the third element of a bathroom, because every time I do, the fake news only talks about that. But you know what I'm talking about. One time, two times, five times, 10 times, no water comes out.
I love that he used to be the leader of the free world, and now he sounds like an all caps post on Nextdoor. I flush one, two, three times, no water comes out. Also, have you seen this cat? And by the way, it is not normal that we know his position on toilets. Biden has been president for over a year. I have no idea where he stands on toilets. I mean, I assume he's pro. Also, I like that Trump thinks as long as he doesn't say the word toilet, the fake news won't know what he's talking about. Like, our minds are blown when he calls it the third element, like it's a canceled sci-fi series. Although, it would be amazing if Trumpers started calling it the third element. It would save you trouble if you were ever at a family reunion and some distant cousin was like, hey, I gotta go hit the third element. But when we get back, we're gonna start talking politics. You could be in your car before he even flushed. Now, there is a chance Trump's obsession with toilets and their inability to flush has something to do with the fact that he reportedly has a habit of destroying documents via toilet. While President Trump was in office, staff in the White House residence periodically discovered wads of printed paper clogging a toilet and believed the president had flushed pieces of paper. Either he was destroying official documents by flushing them or using official documents as toilet paper. Oh, man, there's no paper. Mel, there's no paper. Can you slide the daily briefing in? Mel, this is the prenup. You want me to amend it? If you want a toilet that can handle official documents, you need one of those high-powered super flushers they have on airplanes. You ever seen one of those toilets get clogged? No. They can handle anything. Because the people who designed those toilets knew what they were up against. A plane full of people who had breakfast, then stopped at the airport bar, then got a Cinnabon, and then ate a vintage Salisbury steak in severe turbulence. Those toilets are ready to go. You could put a toaster in there and flush it without a problem. Anyway, the point of all this, if there can even be a point, is that Trump has a troubled history with document preservation. And that troubled history is now costing him after a judge ruled on Friday that he's still in contempt of court for failing to turn over documents Trump claims he doesn't have.
Breaking news out of New York, where former President Donald Trump is now being held in contempt of court for refusing to comply with a subpoena as part of the New York AG's investigation into his company.
The Manhattan judge rejecting former President Trump's appeal, denying his lawyer's request to lift a contempt of court order, despite the former president submitting an affidavit that he just can't find the documents they're looking for. This comes just 3 days after that contempt order kicked in, which would fine Mr. Trump $10,000 each day till he coughs up the related documents.
First of all, it doesn't surprise me at all that Trump says he can't find the documents they want. I'm betting the Trump organization didn't have actual files. I doubt they even recorded any of their meetings. When you get a Google Calendar invite from the Trump organization, it probably just says subject, the thing, location, the place, attendees, the guys. So Trump has now been held in contempt as part of a fraud investigation in which he claims he doesn't have the documents that have been subpoenaed. And if you ask me, there's a decent chance the reason he doesn't have them is he flushed them down the toilet. This is the guy the Republican Party is in lockstep behind. Just consider how humiliating it must be to grovel for the toilet weirdo's endorsement, which Republicans across the country have been doing. Like Senate candidate J.D. Vance in Ohio. Vance spent years relentlessly criticizing Trump, and now he has to debase himself by taking back all those criticisms in order to earn Trump's endorsement. And Trump has returned Vance's loyalty by refusing to even remember his name.
Author and former venture capitalist J.D. Vance desperately sought and earned the endorsement from former President Trump over Ohio's former state treasurer Josh Mandel. Although, for a moment overnight, it wasn't clear to anyone, apparently even Trump, exactly who he endorsed.
You know, we've endorsed Dr. Oz. We've endorsed JP, right? J.D. Mandel, and he's doing great. They're all doing good.
I mean, it's pretty remarkable that we've endorsed Dr. Oz isn't even the craziest sentence in that clip. This guy can't even be bothered to remember the names of the people he's endorsing. He went from JP to J.D. Mandel. If he kept talking, he would have endorsed J.K. Rowling.
We endorse JP, J.D., you know, the famous writer J.K. Rowling, the author of Harry Potter and the Third Element.
This is how much you have to forfeit your dignity to succeed in today's Republican Party. You have to grovel and debase yourself to earn the endorsement of a guy who can't even remember your name. A toilet-obsessed weirdo who, in the same speech, once again bragged about acing that stupid dementia test where you have to identify some animals on a piece of paper.
I said, how tough is this test, Ronnie? Because these people are calling me bad names. They're calling me stupid. They're stupid, Ronnie, and we got to end this bull. So I said, how long and how tough is the test? They said, well, the first questions are easy, but when you get to the middle of the test, they're very hard.
Yeah, they're very hard. For example, you have to remember the names of people you've endorsed. That's how smart people pronounce it, though. Stupid! Let me just remind you all, in case you've forgotten, and I hope you have, that none of the questions are hard. There's a part of the test where you have to name a few animals, and judging from his inability to remember human names, I can't imagine Trump aced it. I'm guessing he wrote down, I don't know, for this one, knife nose, and probably called this one lump horse. This is the guy for whom the Republican Party tried to overthrow democracy. Every day we get more evidence implicating more and more Republicans in the attempted coup. Republican members of Congress were secretly texting and hatching schemes to keep Trump in power. As the AP reported over the weekend, there's mounting evidence of GOP involvement in Trump's election schemes. That includes people like Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan, who was texting with Trump's chief of staff, Mark Meadows, just hours before the mob stormed the Capitol. Jordan offered a legal rationale for what Trump was publicly demanding that Vice President Mike Pence, in his ceremonial role presiding over the electoral count, somehow assert the authority to reject electors from Biden-won states. Pence should call out all electoral votes that he believes are unconstitutional as no electoral votes at all, Jordan wrote. You don't get to just throw out votes you believe are unconstitutional. Believing doesn't make it so. It's not a Disney movie. Dumbo, you can fly. You have to believe. Just don't look down.
Below.
But I would like to hear Trump try to thank Jim Jordan for his loyalty.
I just want to thank my close friend and ally, the great congressman from Ohio, Jim Jarmusch. Jim, we love his movies, don't we? About coffee and cigarettes. And that was today's joke for film buffs. In addition to being a party of aspiring authoritarians hell-bent on dismantling democracy, the Republican Party is just filled with weirdos. Their standard bearer is a guy whose main obsession is toilets, specifically toilets that aren't strong enough to handle all his
bull.
This has been A Closer Look.
Say hello to a new era of mental health care. Cerebral is here to help you achieve your mental wellness goals with professional therapy and medication management support 100% online. You'll experience the all-new Cerebral Way, an innovative approach to mental wellness designed around you. You'll get a personalized treatment plan from a therapist, prescriber, or both in a safe and judgment-free space. Your Cerebral therapist or prescriber will outline a customized plan with clear milestones along the way so you can get to feeling your best. With Cerebral, you're not alone in your mental health journey. We're here to empower you to live a fulfilling life. So take that first step towards a brighter future and sign up today at Cerebral.com/podcast and use code WONDERY to get 15% off your first month. Offer only valid on monthly plans. Other exclusions may apply. Offer ends July 31st, 2024. See site for details.
Our guest is a talented actress you know from shows such as Yellowjackets, Castle Rock, and Mrs. America. She stars in Hulu's limited series Candy, which premieres on Monday, May 9th. Please welcome to the show Melanie Lynskey, everyone.
I'm so happy to be here. I'm a little bit nervous. This is my first ever talk show.
Well, you're off to an amazing start.
Thank you. So supportive.
Usually first timers fall on the stairs. It's amazing. You've just everything has
concerned.
Been really gracefully. So
I was like, why am I not in sneakers?
I've been a huge fan of yours for a long time, but I really love Yellowjackets, which was a show that came out this year. And for those who haven't seen it, I guess it's sort of hard to explain. It's sort of a coming-of-age, a horror cannibal plane crash.
I think that's perfect.
Thank you.
Yeah. I don't think you need any more information than that. Yeah, it's a very intense show, and the response has been amazing. I'm used to doing something and then having, like, a couple of people be like, I saw that, you know, and then it just kind of, like, floats away. But to have people watching it week after week and be excited, it's been
amazing.
It was
one of those old school watching it every week, not knowing what was happening, finding a sort of a clatch of people who are watching it along with you.
Yeah.
And it was also really, I mean, it's strange to say, we were saying backstage, it's really fun. I mean, I think that not enough cannibalistic stuff is fun these days.
It's true. It's true. There's such judgment on it. No, it's really fun. I'm happy that I don't have to play a current day cannibal.
Yeah.
The person I'm playing was once a cannibal, so I don't have to do any of that stuff.
It's a very nice show for cannibals who are worried they might never be able to set their life straight.
Yeah, well, I don't know how much any of them have set their life straight, but yeah, continue on.
I should be noted that you're playing your, there's a flashback to the cannibal, mm-hmm. so you're past it.
Yeah, and there's another actress who plays the younger version of me, and she's absolutely amazing.
It's exceptionally cast. The young people are exceptionally cast for their current day counterparts.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. They did
a
great job.
It is very cliffhangery, and I've heard that your husband, Jason Ritter, a very talented actor, and your friends did try to, like, press you for details.
It got to a point where, especially, there's this one mystery about a character called Adam, and everybody was wondering, who's Adam? And I would pick up my phone and my group text with my best girlfriends. They're all, like, discussing it as though I'm not even on this text. And then every now and again, they'll remember and be like, Melanie, send an emoji if we're getting close or whatever. And I'm just like, please, I need one area. And, Jason's like, tell me. Don't tell me. Do tell me. Don't tell me.
Oh. Do you like horror as a genre? Do you enjoy it?
I do. I love watching horror movies. But I don't really get, jump scared.
Why would you say you don't jump scare?
I don't know. There's something, with my adrenal function, I guess. Okay. Something's wrong.
So you're impossible? Wrong. You're impossible to scare.
Well, now I'm nervous that someone's going to...
No. That's not how we do it.
Behind me.
That's not how we do it.
This is Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah.
All right. No, it doesn't really happen. And it's the worst thing for my husband because his whole life, his favorite thing has been scaring people. He'll hide around corners.
Yeah.
His siblings were tortured through their whole childhood and they're still a bit shaky. And he tries to scare me. One time he said he was going to bed... And I said, all right, good night. And I stayed up for 20 minutes. And when I walked into the room was dark and he came out on his knees like this, like a scary leprechaun or something. I don't know what he was trying to do, but I said, oh, that's scary. Because it looked weird.
Yeah. Although I will say, if he's been doing it his whole life, I feel like he should be a little better.
You're not wrong. He could have, he could have had some... Yeah. Something a little bit scary.
Yeah, a leprechaun costume, I think, would have put that through the roof.
He should have just shelled out for a costume. Yeah.
Maybe it's just a dry run. Maybe it's prepare.
Yeah.
Next St. Patrick's Day, though, I'd, be on your toes.
Exactly.
So this, your new show, mm-hmm. Candy, this is based on a real life story. So I feel like it doesn't count as a spoiler.
Yeah.
Because you and Jessica Biel play a couple of friends. Mm-hmm. One of whom murders the other one with an axe.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I hope I haven't given too much away.
No, I think a lot of people know the story, and from the first episode, it's pretty clear that that's what happens.
Gotcha.
I'm the one who gets murdered.
Okay, gotcha. I wasn't going to give it away, but congrats. No.
Well, thanks. Thank you.
Also, congratulations on the... I guess is this early 80s that it takes place?
1980.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
And weirdly, just that the wigs are incredible.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fantastic. And one really, based on how it frames her face, you wonder why Jessica Biel hasn't been doing this full time.
No. She somehow still looks beautiful.
She really does still pull it off.
I'm not pulling it off quite like she is, but she's really... I did press with her a while ago, and so many people were like, you look like your husband in 2001. I was like... I never saw it before.
I didn't either, but oh my God, that is definitely it.
Yep, yeah, that's it.
Yeah. And you have a daughter now?
I do,
3 years old?
3-year-old,
so that means one year old when the pandemic started? Okay, gotcha. So
she's very good with her little mask. And
does your husband ever try to scare her?
He tries to scare her all the time. She is much more in line with his own sort of fear level, which is I can be in the kitchen drinking a cup of coffee and he'll walk in and be like, ah! So So she's more like that.
Okay.
She's easily scared. But she hates it. She hates being scared. And so I'll say, you know, a good thing to say is, Dada, get a hold of yourself. And she remembers. She's really good. So next time she sees him, she'll be like, Dada, get a hold of yourself. And he'll be like, where'd that come from?
Speaking of babies, you have, yeah. This is not even a line of yours, but you're in the film Sweet Home Alabama. And this is like just sort of an iconic line in the film where Reese Witherspoon said,
look at you.
Yeah. You have a baby in a bar.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this might have even been in the trailer. I feel like.
I think so.
Yes. And do people still recognize you from this moment?
People recognize me from this moment. People quote this line that's not, and I say, oh, Reese did a great job with that line. It's so weird, you know. But it's, I think Reese Witherspoon, she can make anything iconic. She's got that talent.
Is it nice that you, I guess because of the pandemic, you never had to risk bringing your own baby to a bar?
True. I was relieved, yeah. It did occur to me at a certain point. I mean, not that I'm, like, dragging around to bars, you know. Most is not. I wasn't like, oh, I wish I could take her for a vodka tonic.
Yeah, right now. You never want to be in a situation where everybody's talking about how hard the pandemic was, and you're like, I couldn't bring my baby to a bar.
I know. It was impossible. Yeah.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you.
Candy, and thank you so much for being here. It was
Thanks
an absolute delight
me.
To have you.
You're
you guys,
lovely.
Give it up. For Melanie Lynskey, Candy premieres on Hulu next Monday, kicking off a 5-night event leading up to the finale on May 13th.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a 6-part podcast from CBC. Available now.